Coming up on today's show...
He doesn't test us on purpose. Like, hey, you know what? I'm going to see what I can do to test this guy today. It's one of those things to where if you have a strong faith base, then the adversity that comes to you, then I think you're able to deal with it in a much better situation.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday. That's it. I'm not going to bombard you with emails just once a week when a new episode comes out. While you are on the website signing up for the newsletter, look at the top of any page on the site and you will see social media links, logos for this show, meaning Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that as well on catholicsportsradio.net. I truly enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. I want to talk to coaches this week. Never mind the pros. Let's look at the moms and dads who are giving up time after work, a lot of times away from their family, and spending countless hours in the gym, at the rink, at the field, whatever it is, and trying to teach, trying to lead, being a coach for student athletes. There are lots of you out there, lots of you. And there are times when you are questioning, is it all really worth it? You start to wonder if you're really making a difference. The doubts start to creep in, and you don't even know yourself if those student athletes are listening to you. Are they learning? Are they improving? Are they seeing benefit in all that you sacrifice for them? We ask ourselves these questions in whatever our job is and in trying moments in our daily lives. Hopefully, we turn to God in those moments of wonder and wanting to see some kind of sign. Can I do yet another passage from Romans? Is that okay? I know this is three consecutive weeks and four out of the last five, but clearly there's a lot of really relevant text in there for us to focus on present day. Fear not, my brothers and sisters in Christ, all you coaches and you worriers. Romans chapter 8, verse 32 says, quote, "He who did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all, how will he not also give us everything else along with him?" Please pray, folks, for my aunt. She is my godmother and is in a really bad way health-wise. Every time I talk to my mother, she updates me, and a lot of times I find myself saying, I sure hope she has good health insurance. Health care is complicated. It does not have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your health care with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime, choose your own provider, and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/catholic-radio. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a college scout with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was a first-round draft pick in the 1995 NFL Draft and went on to play 9 years with Pittsburgh and then 5 years with the Houston Texans. In total, he played in 188 regular season games and 5 in the playoffs. He also served on the NFL Players Association Executive Committee. Back in his days as a student athlete, he played college football for the Washington Huskies, earning All-American honors in 1993. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Mark Bruner.
Hello, Bruce. How are you today?
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for making time to be on the show. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you letting me come on. I know we've been emailing and communicating for months leading up to this, and I'm really excited that we're finally able to do this and be able to be on your show today. I feel honored.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's get started by first having you share with the audience where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
I was born and raised in Aberdeen, Washington, which is a town about 2 hours southwest of Seattle. And the third of four kids. My parents had two older siblings, a brother and a sister, and then myself, and then a younger sister.
Now, was this a Catholic household that you grew up in? And if so, tell us about the presence of the faith when you were a young boy, including perhaps any Catholic education you might have received.
I was raised in a Catholic household. You know, luckily for me, I had two wonderful parents that faith was extremely important within our family. And being in a small town like I was, I actually went to the same Catholic grade school that my dad went to. Mm. And I would joke with him to say that the same nuns that taught him were teaching me. So we would joke about that. The house that I grew up in was about five blocks from the house that my dad grew up in. Mm. And then the grade school was about three blocks from the house that I was raised in. So tight-knit community, tight-knit family, and feel very fortunate that faith was a strong influence in our family as I was growing up. And the number of times that my dad was like, all right, we're going to go to church, and I would drag my feet and dread to go. But then once I would get there, I was happy that he ended up making us go and was able to learn from him and learn from the priest and the church that we grew up in.
So the Catholic school, that was, I'm guessing, maybe up to eighth grade. Am I right on that? And was your high school Catholic or no?
So you're exactly correct. It was up to eighth grade, and the name of that school was St. Mary's Catholic School. Still existence and still there in the exact same location. Mm. And then there were no Catholic high school options. So Aberdeen High School is the high school that we all went to. In fact, it was the same high school that both my parents went to. Mm. And my older siblings and then obviously myself. And it was really special. And as you grow up in a tight-knit small community, you kind of don't realize, you're like, hey, I want to go to the big city. And then as you get older, you realize just how fortunate you were to be raised in that type of environment.
Mm. On the sports side of things, in my research for today's interview, all I saw was football. When did you first start playing sports, period? And was football, in fact, your only sport, or did you play others?
So I played sports as a youth, the soccer, the Little League baseball, those were, and then, you know, basketball and wow. Played football. My first year of contact football wasn't until seventh grade. That's just what was the way things were back then. So flag football was what I played as a youth growing up, and then contact football for seventh and eighth grade. But basketball was my first love. I so much enjoyed it. My older brother and I would play quite a bit, and being 6 foot four, at 185 pounds as a freshman, I was like, gosh, you know, I have a strong chance of continuing on. But then I quickly realized that my point guard skills were not anywhere near the next level capable. Mm. And a 6'4 post that wasn't overly athletic enough to jump and dunk the basketball regularly wasn't something that I think the colleges were going to look for. But I grew into and loving football, and was so fortunate that I was able to go down that path. And it's been so rewarding to me.
But with basketball, was it your older brother? Was it your dad? Was it, I'm going to take a guess and say, Seattle Supersonics, I guess. What pointed you in the direction of trying basketball first?
It was my older brother and my dad. You know, we were Seahawks fans as a family growing up. We didn't attend many games as much as we'd watch them on the television or listen to them on the radio. But basketball was pretty convenient because, you know, there were basketball hoops there on the playground at the grade school and at the high school. So it was just convenient for us to be there. But I was passionate about all sports, and I was encouraged by my family and friends to continue to play all sports and not necessarily focus on one. And I really felt that was rewarding for me. And that's kind of helped me sort out what I wanted to do and what I didn't want to do.
I love that. And audience, you know, this question is fairly common on this show. And for Mark to say that he was encouraged by family and friends, that's the important word there that I want you to focus on. And how important that is that as a youngster, you really do look up to those adults in your life and the influence that they're going to have. And so to show that interest in Mark as a student athlete and not just, that's nice, and you're waving the kid off, and all of a sudden he or she feels like you really don't care, and now they go off and get into trouble. So you see the value of being an encourager and the value of sports. Mark, I usually save let's relive exciting memories type questions till the end of an interview, but because I like to go in chronological order with a guest's life, take us to 1991 and playing in the Rose Bowl en route to a truly memorable college football season for you.
Oh my gosh, Bruce. So as a freshman coming to the University of Washington, I was fortunate to have opportunities for different schools. And Don James was the head coach at Washington at the time, and that's where I felt I was going to be the most comfortable and have the best opportunity to be successful. And that first year was anything that anybody can imagine as far as being successful. We won 12 games that year, undefeated. And as a freshman, I was the second string tight end. And in the game against Michigan, in that Rose Bowl game that you're making reference to, I was able to catch a touchdown from Billy Joe Hobert. And it was right in the back of the end zone, and there was just inches between my foot and the end line. And that was the score that actually put us up and kind of gave us that momentum that we never gave up. And the so many great things about that game. Obviously, you know, we beat Michigan. We were national champions that year as a result of that game. My parents were able to go to that game, as they were all of my college games, which I was so fortunate that they were able to do that. And you know those kind of disposable cameras? I don't know if they have them anymore that you buy at the drugstore. Well, my parents took one photo in the game, and it was me catching that touchdown with one of those disposable cameras. You know, it was incredible. And so my parents have blown it up, and now it's in our family house.
Wow.
And it's like perfect. And it's like, so, okay, it's really cool that there's a picture of me catching a touchdown. Like, I don't want to take anything away from that. But the fact that that picture encompasses so much, you know, how exact I needed to be, the referees right there, the Michigan players right there. But my parents took that picture. And like, there's so much meaning behind that photo besides actually just the surface value of what you see. And that's, I think, is one of the things that makes it so special for us and our family.
Wow. Yeah, I've got a big, silly smile on my face as I'm listening to you say all that. That's tremendous.
Yeah.
And audience, I wanted Mark to say national champion, which he did. So I kind of led him into that. I didn't say it in the intro, but I knew that it was going to come up. So I wanted to make sure that that was highlighted. I love hearing guests tell the story about the day they were drafted into the pros, regardless of what sport it was. Mark, in your case, wow, a tight end drafted in the first round. Of course, the NFL draft was not the multi-day television spectacle that it is now, but take us back to the day you got selected by the Steelers, including how active were you in your faith at that point in your life? Were you praying about the prospect of being drafted? Do you know if you went out of your way to give thanks and praise to God when you did get picked? Take us back to that draft day.
Well, first I'd like to address the praying aspect of it. You know, as we talked about my childhood and the importance of going to church and the Catholic faith and my family growing up, that was something that my parents continued to instill in me. And I was involved with Mike Rohrbach was kind of the team chaplain at University of Washington at the time, and still involved in different Bible studies and things. So I was able to continue with my faith there at University of Washington, which I felt very fortunate of. And it was because of people like Mike Rohrbach and because of people that were involved in the program. And it wasn't necessarily you had to be, there was only a Catholic type of service. It was just a Christian type of service that all of us could participate in. And that's where I felt fortunate. So yes, I was very much giving praise to God and praying that I would be selected and hope to go to the right team. Because you don't know, there's 32 teams and you don't know who you were going to go to or what was going to be. It could have been the Seattle Seahawks, or it could have been the New England Patriots, or Miami, or LA, or Arizona. So you could be at all four corners of the United States. And then fortunately for me, the phone did ring, and it was the Pittsburgh Steelers. And as you talked about today's draft, and, you know, I have intimate knowledge of because of what I do, now it's, you know, this fanfare of these giant parties and things, and I'm all for that, and I'm glad these families and kids can do that. But it was just myself and my immediate family there at the house, and then my current wife, and she was my girlfriend at the time. And we were there at my parents' beach house, actually, in Westport. And the phone rang, and all it was, hey, is this Mark? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, hold on. And this was when you had landlines. There was no cell phones.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is probably a time when there was no caller ID, so you couldn't even look and see, 412, that's Pittsburgh.
Yeah. No, so I'm kind of like going, all right, what's going on here? And I'm watching the television, and then a little bit of ruffle buffle, and still hold on. And then they read my name on the podium there. My name goes across the screen at the bottom. And then I talked to Mr. Rooney. I talked to Coach Cower, numerous people. And I had a feeling that there was an opportunity for the Steelers to draft me, because you go to these teams for pre-draft interviews. So it wasn't like they were out of the blue. Uh-huh. And I was just there, maybe a week or so prior for an interview in the building. But I did that with multiple teams. So it wasn't like they were the only school in town that wanted to have a conversation with me.
Yeah.
But you really never know where you're going to end up. Things could change, last minute. But that truly was a dream come true. And I definitely was walking a little light and kind of floating around with that. But for me to be able to celebrate that with my family and my girlfriend at the time, current wife, we've been married 28 years now. And it's just so amazing. And here's what's even crazier about that is that was 1995. And our oldest son, our third child, is a senior linebacker at the University of Washington. And hopefully he'll have an opportunity to play at the next level. Well, he wants to be down at the same beach house, our family beach house, for his draft day when that comes. So, there's just so many cool, special memories that we have a chance to hopefully, celebrate as a family. And it's all because of football, which is kind of crazy that I started when I was a kid.
Yeah, and you can see the Lord's handprints all over that. And as you said, a lot of is thankful to the gentleman that you mentioned from the University of Washington and making sure that you were continuing to stay dedicated to your faith, and then having that blessing come on draft day and now seeing it come full circle. And audience, we are going to be talking about Mark's son a little bit later on. But friends, for some time now, we have seen how a strength and conditioning coach has become a regular part of a team's coaching staff. We want to get our bodies in the best physical shape. We should also want to put our mind, our personal infrastructure, in all-star condition too, by seeking a professional from Freedom Coaching who can help us get results that way. A Catholic-based service, they help those who struggle with an attachment to pornography. Get started towards being set free by going to freedom-coaching.net, and be sure to let them know that you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. In my ministry moment, I referred to challenges that coaches face. Let's be honest, players have difficult moments that test them as Christians, and Mark was no different, meaning he missed 7 games in 2001 because of shoulder surgery, and then another 7 games in 2002 following a knee operation. I am going to ask him to tell us about dealing with that adversity as it relates to leaning on his Catholic faith, or maybe gulp, getting mad at God and asking why me. Plus, stick around because, as I said, Mark has gone from NFL player to football dad, and I'm going to have him give him some perspective, some advice on sticking to parenting, meaning letting the coach be the coach. But first, I want to send my thanks to a listener, Mark, from Sugar Hill, Georgia, who was kind enough to make a financial gift to my ministry. I had sent him an email to express my thanks, but he also gave me permission to say his name on the air to express my gratitude publicly. He has been very supportive of this ministry, and that's what this is. It's not only a ministry in the sense of the work I'm doing, the time that I put into doing this show every week, yet not getting any income from doing it, but it's a ministry in the sense that we, and I say we because we're all a part of this, me as the host, sure, but the guests and the audience too. It's a ministry in the sense that we all are trying to get closer to Christ. In this case, we do so through the mix of faith and sports, and hopefully this show is a resource that's being used not just by me, but by you in the audience as well, to help others, to minister to people who need that grace, that compassion, that encouragement to turn to their faith. And if it's Catholic Sports Radio that moves them in that way, then I say thank you, God, for using me in that as far as heading up this ministry. So you are all very much on the team. Let's keep this ministry moving forward. Join Mark from Sugar Hill, Georgia, and other listeners and guests before him in helping out with the various expenses that are all a part of operating Catholic Sports Radio on and off the air. I have given specific dollar amounts, exact costs, from bills almost as they come in over numerous prior episodes of the show, so you know where the money goes. On the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net or .com, they'll both get you to the same place, there is a blue Donate to CSR button. That is how Mark from Sugar Hill, Georgia, made this contribution that I'm referring to. That blue button is a fast, easy, and secure way to make a financial gift. It will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal. Alternatively, though, if you prefer, since I know some people don't like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. Regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or sending me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of this show as a public thanks, just like I'm doing this week with Mark from Georgia, and as you've heard me do on other episodes of the show when guests or listeners have made a contribution, or as some people have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Okay, Mark Bruner, I tried to buy you enough time there to get some thoughts together. Let's tackle, no football pun intended. Let's tackle the first question that I said I was going to ask you, which is the adversity you faced while playing in the NFL. I mentioned a shoulder surgery that caused you to miss 7 games, a knee operation that caused you to miss 7 more. Heck, I even found an old ESPN article from what I think was the summer of 2003 where they said that you agreed to a pay cut to stay with the Steelers. The article even referred to, quote, the consequences if he did not agree to the reduction, end quote. How much did you look to your Catholic faith during times of injuries, surgeries, sitting out games because of those? And or were there times of maybe not wanting to really talk to God out of frustration?
Well, all those things that you have made reference to are, I consider, adversity. And I'm one of those people that likes to tackle adversity head on. I know that when we hide from adversity, it's always going to be there. And I think you show your true colors when you deal with adversity. And I use my faith every day, and I try to walk the walk and talk the talk, but be an example of what a godly person is like. And we're all faced with adversity. So those challenges that you made reference to with the injuries and the surgeries and, towards the end of my career there for the Steelers to make an adjustment to my salary, my compensation, that's the business and that's just the facts of life with regards to football. Football is a contact sport, it's a collision sport, and unfortunately our bodies don't always react how we want them to. So to me, it's extremely important that you have something to fall back on. You have something that's going to allow you to persevere. And your faith is truly tested when you are faced with adversity, because when the going's good, when everything is good, it's easy to say, oh yeah, you know, praise God. God's great. You know, look what he's doing for me. He's doing all these great things. And then when you are faced with adversity, you know, because I had the injuries or in, you know, the financial situation, that's when you're really testing and you're sitting there saying to yourself, okay, God, like, what's going on here? Like, I thought things were really good going last week. What did I do wrong? And it's kind of one of those things to where I just believe that he doesn't test us on purpose. Like, hey, you know what? I'm going to see what I can do to test this guy today. It's one of those things to where if you have a strong faith base, then the adversity that comes to you, not because you request it, because that's just kind of the facts of life and that's how things go, then I think you're able to deal with it in a much better situation. And it's one of those things to where when I first got hurt, you know, the world's going to end. Like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. But then you have people around you. My wife was extremely supportive in every aspect, you know, attended almost every game that she could, you know, with our families and things of that sort. But it's just, you rely upon, you know, your inner faith to deal with things, because when you're also recovering from these injuries, you're in constant pain. You're in excruciating amount of pain a lot of days. And it's not fair for someone to take that pain out and have them change their personality and take it out and be a grouch to the people around them, i.e. their coworkers or i.e. their family members or their spouse. And that's where I would lean upon my faith a lot to say, hey, God, thank you for the day you've given me, and help me to be a shining light in what you want me to be for the people that I interact with. And I say that prayer a lot. And to me, it's like I'm an example to my kids. And you teach your kids and your family lessons when you're not trying to. And when you don't think someone's watching, that's when you're actually teaching more lessons than when you're trying to stand in front of a group and have a piece of paper in front of you or a rehearsed speech or prepared speech in that regard.
Wow. Wow. Wonderfully said. Wonderfully said. That's powerful. And I almost want to do the George Costanza. I'm going out on that, but I've got other questions that I want to ask, but that's just tremendous. Present day, you are a college scout for the Steelers. Is that regional, meaning that you stay at home, or are you out on the road traveling, and as a result, you have to try to find a Catholic church to go to Mass to somewhere on the weekend?
It's a lot of both. These past couple of years, Omar Khan has been our general manager. This is his third season as our general manager, and he's been extremely generous to me and my family to where I'm not traveling as much because I'm able to spend more time with my family and to be able to watch my son, as we made reference to earlier in our conversation. He's a senior linebacker for the University of Washington Huskies. So I do travel, but the amount of travel that I have done compared to what my role was 10 years ago with the team is a little bit different, and I'm fortunate for that. You know, as I said, we have five kids, and we have also had two foster boys that we had for over 2 years with us, and it was extremely challenging. So Omar was very gracious to say, hey, look, we're going to take you off the road a little bit so you can accommodate and attend to your family needs and still allow me to do the job that I love to do, and that's to help the Steelers find players to help us win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, very nice.
So we've been blessed.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, for sure. Let's get back to another question that I promised I was going to ask, which is having to restrain yourself as a former NFL player when it comes to just letting the coach do the coaching. And I'm talking about your son that you've mentioned a couple times now plays football for the University of Washington. What advice do you have for parents of student athletes in this regard?
So the first advice that I want to give is don't pigeonhole or don't make your child only play one sport as they are growing up. Hmm. I've been around people to say, like, don't only let your kid play baseball or football or basketball or soccer or lacrosse. Like, have them be a multi-sport child growing up, because there's so many benefits that come from that, and you're going to have a really not a very strong opportunity. Like, the kid is going to have a less chance of burning out at that one sport if they're playing multiple sports. And looking back at the draft classes that we've drafted and or the NFL has drafted, a large majority, over 75% of the players that are drafted each year in and out are multi-sport athletes when they're in high school. So I understand there's some specialization that people want to do, but then I also understand that kids are going to get hurt because of overuse, because they're only doing one sport, one specific movement with their body or strain on their muscles. So the number of medical advisors that I trust and that are a whole lot smarter than me I've asked questions in regards to that, and they are extreme proponents of multi-sports when kids are younger. I have been a youth coach, helped my two sons when they were in high school as a high school assistant coach, and I love being a part of their lives. My 13-year-old, who's in seventh grade, I'm one of the coaches for his youth football team, and I want to be there. And not because I know everything. I want to be really clear. That's the farthest from my expertise. But I want to be there to share this experience with my kids. And I never try to come across as being I know everything just because of what I've done and what I currently do, as much as, hey, have you thought of maybe doing it this way or doing it that way? And I have parents come to me at the college level and or just general people. You know, hey, what's going on with the Husky team? You know, who's their coach, and is he coaching the right way? And I constantly say, I'm not in the meeting, so I don't think it's fair that I make an opinion on a coach. Now, if I'm going to be there every day and put in the 15 hours a day that these staffs are doing, then I think it's fair that I have an opinion. But my job is to support my kids, support the team, and let the coaches do their job. And my job is to be a parent and be a cheerleader, supporter. Wow. And I have strong conviction in that, because I don't think it's fair that I'm worried about how to keep my neighbor's yard clean when I got to keep my own yard clean.
Wonderfully said. Wonderfully said. And audience, I did not know what Mark's answer was going to be. We didn't discuss this in advance. And for a former NFL player to show that kind of restraint, right, you would think, here's a guy that played for 14 years in the NFL. He has every right to go down there and put his two cents in with the coach. If he can show that kind of restraint, then so can you. Those of you that feel compelled to go down and give the coach a piece of your mind when your son or your daughter isn't getting enough playing time, or you don't like some of the things that they're doing, that's the coach's job. And I love what Mark said. You're there to be a parent and to support your child. So Great, great testimony. Great advice. Mark, over your NFL career, you were known as a blocking tight end first and a pass catcher second. Everybody longs for the spotlight and the fame and the headlines. When you're a blocking tight end first and a pass catcher second, you're not going to get all the accolades like the guys who are having 100-yard receiving days or piling up the touchdowns. I am a big fan of humility, which is something that we're called to as Catholic Christians. Is what I just described about your playing days, your role on the team, is that a great opportunity to learn about humility?
100%. 100%. And I'm a team first guy in every aspect. Family first guy, God first guy, team first guy. So we had some great running backs, and people ask, you know, you should get more passes. Well, sure, it would have been nice to have maybe more attention in that regard, but Jerome Bettis was our running back for the bulk of my time there, and Hall of Fame running back. And I would look at the stat line, not to see how many catches I had, but was to see how many yards Jerome had, because the number of games that he had over 100 yards rushing, or our team had over 100 yards rushing, our success rate went up significantly as far as wins and losses. Mm. And Coach Cowher was our coach at the time, and Steelers are consistently like this with our current coach, Coach Tomlin. We're a physical football team. We're a physical organization. And after you play the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're going to remember that you played them. Not because they were dirty or they cheap shotted you. It is because they would play hard and they would play the game the right way. And I felt fortunate for the teams that I was a part of and my contribution that I was able to contribute to the team and help Jerome with this 100 yards or help whoever our running back was at the time. And then also contribute when needed with regards to the passing game. And I liked my role. I enjoyed my role. It's hard for me to find those blocking tight ends at the college ranks because the college game has changed to where everybody's the receiving tight end. So we have to do a lot of projecting on some of these guys. Can they become a blocking tight end, or can they block at the end of the line of scrimmage?
Interesting.
And when we find them, they're pretty valuable. They are valuable to our group.
And audience, there's some really great lessons in there because – some parents will tell their son, in the case that we're talking about with football, well, if they're going to try to use you as a blocking tight end first, you just need to make a name for yourself. You need to show them that you can catch the ball. You need to get open. You need to talk more with the quarterback. You need to talk with the offensive coordinator. And you're hearing Mark saying you can still be a very valuable contributor without rocking the boat and trying to say, use me more for pass catching. And then if you think of highly recruited student athletes, they're coming out as someone who was the star of their team or one of the stars of their team. They're used to, I'm going to play my game. And now you're getting a new assignment. Now the coach is telling you, hey, you're going to be a blocking tight end first. And that's an adjustment that you have to make. But as you just heard from Mark, if it contributes to the team winning, that's what everybody's there for. So these are really, really great lessons. And this has been a great conversation. I was very excited. Here's someone that I just said was known as a blocking tight end first and a pass catcher second. And when a mutual acquaintance put me together with Mark, I was excited. It thought, oh my gosh, Mark Bruner on Catholic Sports Radio? Absolutely. This is amazing. So the excitement that I had for somebody that, again, I'm going to keep going back to, a blocking tight end first, a pass catcher second. He wasn't somebody that has numbers that are absolute record setters, but I absolutely knew like a household name who Mark Bruner was and was so excited. So you don't have to be the star of the team to contribute to the victories. And if you can go out as a winner and say that your team won more often than you lost, I think you're going to be pretty happy. Mark, you've mentioned your family a couple times, but I want to close by just having you talk a little bit more. You said that you've been married for 28 years, which is just tremendous. And again, just tell us a little bit more about your wife and the family that the two of you have made.
I'm the most fortunate person in the world because as we have spoken in what you just mentioned, that I've been married to the most amazing person for over 28 years. Mm. And she has been the biggest supporter. And we have five amazing kids, from our two oldest daughters, 26 and 25, to our sons, 23, 21, and then 13. And then we had the two foster sons that were with us as well. They're with their father now, but we had them for almost 2 years. So we've been extremely blessed. And it's incredible that as we talked about different parts and different games that I've played in, and I've always tried to look back and emphasize the family support. And when we first moved back to Washington, we got season tickets for the Husky games, and it was a family event. like you were required to be there unless you had something really important, meaning you were sick in the hospital or you were at like your grandmother's 80th birthday for you to miss a family Husky game. Those were things important. And it wasn't because I was trying to force feed football down my family. It was much as I wanted to create a family experience for us to have a reason to get together. And we look back at photos and our oldest daughter was a cheerleader there for the team for 3 years. And then our son is the current player and our other son played for them. And now he's just a regular student. So there's so many cool memories and family reasons for us to be together because that we're circled around football, emphasis around football. And I'm so fortunate to have such a great family. And we're close to my wife's parents who live close to us. And my mom is only an hour and a half away. And it's one of those things to where when it comes right down to it, family's all you got. And you can have all these great awards, you can have all these great events and things happen in your life, but it really comes to just having a close-knit family and being able to share these great experiences with them. So I'm really fortunate. And every day I pray for my kids and for their happiness and pray for the happiness of our entire family. And it's been wonderful. And we're going to be able to have most of us together here shortly again for just for us to be able to spend some quality family time. And that's what's great.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Mark, it was so great having you on the show. God bless you and your family. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. Really enjoyed it.
Thanks so much for having me. And I just so appreciate the opportunity to share the word with you and just talk about sports and talk about our faith. And those are things that kind of get overlooked at times when we're so busy with our everyday lives. It's nice to be able to take a step back and just reflect.
Amen. Amen. And audience, as a nod to all the years that Mark spent playing in the NFL, I thought it would be fitting if this week we closed with a player prayer. So let's do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, let me play well, but fairly. Let competition make me strong, but never hostile. Forbid me to rejoice in the adversity of others. See me not when I am cheered, but when I bend to help my opponent up. If I know victory, allow me to be happy. If I am denied, keep me from envy. Remind me that sports are just games. Help me to learn something that matters once the game is over. And if through athletics I set an example, let it be a good one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.